The Shema on Via Hafta. We recite it every Shabbat. Yet, since 2011 when we started, I don't think I've ever given a sermon on it until today. So, with the Shema on the Via Hafta, basically the Shema, the part that we chanted, the Via Hafta, the part that we recited, it is a passage of Scripture so familiar, so foundational, and so formative throughout the entire Jewish community, Messianic included. The discernment providing greater insight and understanding is long overdue. Last week I sort of touched on it a little bit when we looked at Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision, which was the first parsha of Deuteronomy, and associated with Deuteronomy was Isaiah 1. The Shema, Shema itself, is a word that resonates with every Jewish person. It is the opening word that further connects the vision from Shabbat Chazon to the most uttered passage in Scripture, and that is the Shema. And we recite, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one. It does not mean simply to hear or to listen, but I gave you some additional insight last week. It is to hear intently or intelligently. In other words, to hear with purpose. Shema means also to declare. So what you hear, you are to convey. You're to be able to discern what you hear. In other words, you must have understanding associated with it. Because part of Shema also means to be obedient. And in being obedient, this sort of ties everything together, that with Shema you are a witness. There is no word uttered among Jews that so firmly connects them with Adonai than this word, even Yeshua. This passage of Scripture is uttered at least two and sometimes three times a day in the Orthodox community. It is a passage that we have grown up with. It is a passage we are taught at an early age. It is a passage Yeshua used on many occasions. One such example, Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 28. One of the Torah teachers came and heard them and engaged in this discussion. Seeing that Yeshua answered them well, he asked him, which is the most important mitzvah of them all? Which is the most important commandment? Yeshua answered, the most important is Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Keeping in mind this is a complete Jewish Bible version, but likely you will hear it say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you are to love Adonai, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength. The second is this. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other mitzvah greater than these. Not this, these. The Torah teacher said to him, Well said, Rabbi, you speak the truth when you say that he is one and that there is no other besides him and that loving him with all one's heart, understanding and strength, and loving one's neighbor as oneself means more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is the Torah teacher who was saying this. They are not all blind guides. Some of them had sight. Where today such an understanding of Adonai seems to get lost in translation, gets lost due to cultural suppression, the suppression of the Jewish culture that is fully immersed throughout Scripture, whereby today, absent of Jewish understanding, an entire theology and narrative surround it. How can God be one and yet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in essence conveyed? Doesn't that make God three? I'm going to burst some bubbles here. Nowhere in the New Covenant does it say that God is three, but there it does say that God is one. Yeshua himself says God is one, unique, the only God there is, so that his word is the only authoritative word about God, man, and the relationship between them. At least one educated Jew understands this, to where there is no confusion or contradiction found in Scripture. Who do you think I'm talking about? No, it's not Yeshua. An educated Jew. Shaul. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we hold the view that a person comes to be considered righteous by God on the ground of trusting, which has nothing to do with the legalistic observance of Torah commands. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, he is indeed the God of the Gentiles, because, as you will admit, God is one. Therefore, he will consider righteous the circumcised on the grounds of trusting, and the uncircumcised through the same trusting. Does it follow that we abolish Torah by this trusting? Shaul says, heaven forbid. On the contrary, we confirm it. Then we have the Tanakh in several places gives a remez, a hint of something bigger that is ultimately the inner structure of the one true God and involves both Father, Son, and Ruach HaKodesh. Isaiah 48:16. Come close to me and listen to this. In other words, Shema. Since the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. Since the time things began to be, I have been there, and now Adonai Elohim has sent me and his Spirit. Speaking of three, but in essence, one. And then to further the dynamic of this complexity with regards to Adonai, we have Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. I will proclaim the decree. Adonai said to me, you are my son. Today I become your father. This is just two. I could do a whole sermon series on this connection between the dynamics of who God is. But keeping in mind, we have this very dynamic just in the Shema by itself. Then we go to Genesis 1:26. God uses the plural to speak of himself. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. The rabbinic explanation is that he's talking about God and the angels. Yet, there is no contextual support for such a theory or premise. And there is no reason for a plural of majesty at this point. Likewise, here in the Shema, there are even two remezes. The first, the triple reference of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our... Thank you. Sometimes I'm not good at quoting myself. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one. You have the three. The second, the word Echad, which often means a multiple or complex unity, such as a cluster of grapes, a bundle of sticks, or a husband and wife. Instead of Yachid, Echad is used here. Yachid means almost exclusively one, singular. It would ultimately help if people would teach these very foundational truths and the tools for understanding Scripture in a manner that is rightly divided. Too many times Scripture is taken out of context because many only utilize what is known as the Peshat, the plain, simple meaning. What it says is what it means. There is much greater complexity that exists throughout Adonai's word that gets missed when people rely solely on the Peshat, the plain understanding. And ultimately, this is one of them. And these are the things that you have been learning here. There is a surface understanding of Scripture, which is unfortunately where most believers tend to reside. And there is a much deeper understanding where only a few truly travel and venture into. So when we look at Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6, and you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, all your being and all your resources, these words which I am ordering you today are to be on your heart. Throughout Scripture, Adonai is in pursuit of our heart, your heart. Ultimately, He wants all of you, not just a part. This is a challenge today given the complexity of our society, where our heart tends to get divided among many things. Yet keeping in mind, you can give Him your heart, and this ultimately means, or you can ultimately understand it in this way. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He will level your paths. This doesn't mean there isn't room for more, but that your ultimate reliance on Adonai comes from the heart, not the head. Trusting in Adonai can defy all human logic and rational thought. People call us crazy. People say, well, you need God, therefore you're relying on a crutch, you're not strong enough. You're keeping in mind the type of trust that I'm talking about, the type of faith that I'm talking about. Have you ever heard a donkey actually speak? It's in God's word. Well, that really didn't happen. Then you're making God out to be a liar. Have you ever known anyone who has lived to be over 900 years? It's in Scripture. If you don't believe Scripture, then, well, God's a liar. I've shared with you many times, Scripture is not the issue. It's the theology that's the issue. If you see, or if you believe there's a contradiction in Scripture, it's not the Scripture that's the issue, it's the theology, which is your understanding of the Scripture. I have one more for you. This is for you guys, actually. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Is a country born in one day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Zion went into labor, she brought forth her children, which is where you're going. Adonai is beyond the limits of the world that He created. So when Yeshua was with His Talmidim, He said to them, yes, I tell you that it will be very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Furthermore, I tell you that it's easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the Talmidim heard this, they were utterly amazed. Then who, they asked, can be saved? Yeshua looked at them and said, humanly, this is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Yet with us, it all begins with the heart. Going back to Matthew in chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves wealth here on earth, where moths and rust destroy and burglars break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves wealth in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and burglars do not break in to steal. For where your wealth is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? God's looking for that heart of yours. And then you have Matthew 6:32 and 33. For it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek with all your heart. Seek with all your understanding that doesn't come from you but comes from above. He wants all of you, so much so that He will even give you a new heart to follow Him. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you to live by my laws. Respect my rulings and obey them. You will live in the land I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and increase it, and not send famine against you. I will multiply the yield of fruit from the tree and increase production in the fields, so that you will never again suffer the reproach of famine among the nations. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24, is one of the two places the prophets talk about the new covenant. How intent is Adonai on this relationship? Of the five verses I read from Ezekiel, four of them start with, I will. God will. He's doing everything in His power to draw us to Him. And within the book of Deuteronomy, 21 times, including verses 5 and 6, you have the words, your heart. God is preparing a people at the time that Deuteronomy is written to enter the land. He wants them to be in the land, to prosper in the land, and to grow in the land. And requirement for that is their heart. So we get to Deuteronomy 6, 7. And you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you are traveling on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You are to teach them. Let me share with you a common misconception that the Pharisees and the Torah teachers had with regards to Yeshua and His Talmidim. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. When they saw how bold Kepha and Yochanan were, even though they were untrained, Amharets, people of the land, they were amazed. Also, they recognized them as having been with Yeshua. Amharets, the untrained. Shaul was not Amharets. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Yet people like Kepha, Peter, Yochanan, John, they were of the land. They did not have the type of higher education that Shaul did. But the Jewish people have always had high regard for education, and education used to mean primarily education in religious matters. When you grew up, when you were born, the curriculum of Israel was Torah. It was their history curriculum. It was their civics curriculum. Keeping in mind, you could learn math from it as well. And you didn't learn English, you learned Hebrew. Call it Common Core, but it's God's Common Core, not man's Common Core. The members of the Sanhedrin could easily spot these Galileans by their upcountry accents as persons unlikely to be delivering religious truth. Who are you to convey these pearls of wisdom coming from God? You're from the Galilee. You're from upcountry. Years ago, there was a person, basketball player. He was from French Lick, Indiana. He was known as the Hick from French Lick. I'm talking about Larry Bird. He didn't look all that imposing, but he could drain a three at a whim. But keeping in mind, he had intelligence, but it was intelligence on the basketball court. But he became a coach as well. He knew the game. But keeping in mind, when we're talking about Yeshua's Talmidim as being Haaretz from the land, sometimes people underestimate a thick accent. Sometimes people underestimate thick glasses. Don't underestimate anyone when God is involved, because you will be greatly surprised. John 7:49, true, these people of the land, these Haaretz, they're from the land, but they know nothing about Torah. They are under a curse. That's John 7:49. The critical Judeans, although trained in Torah, which teaches love, not only despise the Haaretz, the people of the land, but regard them as under a curse because of their lack of education. But keeping in mind, they do not lack education when it comes to Torah. They just do not have the education that Shaul received, which also is based on the tradition of the elders. Lack of education is not the same as the lack of knowledge. John 7:15. The Judeans were surprised. How does this man know so much without having studied? Without having attended any of the usual yeshivot, the schools, sitting under the rabbis and Torah teachers who basically conveyed and taught the Pharisaic oral traditions of Torah that are not Torah itself. The implication is that the speakers regarded Yeshua as an Haaretz. In other words, he was a hick from the Galilee. Yet it was either last week or the week before. I shared with you Luke 4. And then we talked about him also being in the temple during Passover and how amazed the rabbis were at what he was sharing with them. So how important is this dynamic of teaching your children? We take it seriously here. You saw that earlier today. How important is it within the Jewish culture, within the Jewish mindset? Shaul is reminded of Timothy's upbringing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I give thanks to God, whom, like my forebears, I worship with a clean conscience, as I regularly remember you in my prayers, night and day. I am reminded of your tears, and I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I recall your sincere trust, the same trust that your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice had first. And I am convinced that you too now have this trust. What did Timothy's grandmother and mother do? They likely taught him what they knew. It starts in the home first. Verse 6, for this reason I am reminding you to fan the flame of God's gift, which you received through the laying of hands from me. For God gave us a spirit who produces not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Timothy was guided toward trust in Yeshua the Messiah from childhood by his Messianic Jewish mother Eunice and grandmother Lois. What a blessing to have such a head start in life. How few Jewish believers today have that advantage. And this all originated through a simple mitzvah, a command that is recited daily and is therefore a daily reminder. Teach your children. And then Shaul goes on to remind Timothy again about his upbringing. Chapter 2, or 2 Timothy 2, 3, 14. But you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, recalling the people from who you learned it. And recalling, too, from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which can give you the wisdom that leads to deliverance through trusting in Yeshua the Messiah. All Scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. Thus, anyone who belongs to God may be fully equipped for every good work. Timothy had a messianic Jewish upbringing before it was even fashionable. It started in the home because of the command, teach your children. Verses 8 and 9. Tie them on your hand for a sign. Put them at the front of a headband around your forehead. And write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. These foundational truths are so important that Adonai wants you to be reminded of them constantly, because ultimately we will need them in everything we do. Even we Jews have come to take these words literally, using the Peshat. This is where we get the phylacteries. On your forehead and wrap it on your arm. Within the little leather box are scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 and Deuteronomy 11. And then attach them to the doorpost of your house. Here you have a mezuzah cover. The mezuzah is a scripture inside. Same scriptures that are found in the phylacteries, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11. So sometimes we even take things literally, but keeping in mind, they're good reminders, but we don't want to place a whole theology around them. And they're helpful too, but is it really what Adonai meant? This is my understanding. Wherever you are, let your lifestyle be that example. In other words, whatever your hands are doing, let them do it according to the Word of God, glorifying Him. Whatever you are thinking, let it be about God and His ways, loving Him, which is evidenced through the keeping of His mitzvot. Now, before I go on, let me share one thing with you. The adversary comes to steal, rob, and destroy. The mark of the beast on the hand, between the eyes and the forehead. He is, in essence, copying, mimicking Adonai. Yet, as believers, we should be able to discern the difference. And ultimately, going a little bit back to the heart, because what we're talking about in verses 7 and 8 ultimately apply to the heart, because it's wherever you are that ultimately these words of Yeshua should in essence be an exclamation point. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You can't love with all your heart without all your heart. So when you enter your homes, let His presence be known through your lifestyle, through your words, through your deeds. Yet with a new heart and a new covenant, Adonai has equipped us like never before with a more powerful means to be reminded of Him and His mitzvot. Jeremiah 31. Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Adonai, I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. The circumcised heart that Ezekiel promised is now the new parchment that Jeremiah is talking about. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, and I will say, or their children, know Adonai, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. It is not the outside, but rather the inside that matters. Torah alludes to this, yet it is through the prophets who identify this issue. And this issue is our stony hearts, that we transgress against Adonai, and where these promises are made and ultimately realized in and through Yeshua. Going back to Genesis 2:7, then Adonai God formed a person, man, Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. Adonai has breathed his ruach into us, thus causing us to live, to be born again ultimately. Prior to becoming a believer, you were living, but you were not really alive. Through his ruach, you have become alive and are able to see Adonai, accept Yeshua, and be empowered to live by his ruach HaKodesh. And I'm closing with Matthew 16. When Yeshua came into the territory around Caesarea Philippi, he asked his Talmidim, who are people saying the Son of Man is? They said, well, some say Yochanan the Immerser. Others say you're Eliyahu, you're Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But now he narrows in on Kepha, on Peter. But you, he said to them, who do you say I am? Shimon Kepha answered, you are the Mashiach, the Son of God. And Yeshua responds to him, how blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. This is you. And this is the power of Adonai's word and the foundational truth of the Shema and the V'ahavta. Yeshua revealed it to us. They're not just words in a paper, on a parchment or a paper. Oh, well, we're to do these things. Oh, well, check that off. My kids have gone to college. They're fully educated. Now they're establishing their own family. It goes much deeper than that. We are to teach them ultimately in the ways of God, so that they will not depart. So these five verses are more powerful than you may have ever realized. So they can't just be on your doorpost. They just can't be on a bookshelf. But they have to be open. And they have to be active. So if everybody will please rise. Adonai Aaron and his sons, and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Ivarecha Adonai Vishmarecha, Yayer Adonai Penevela Vihunecha, Yasei Adonai Penevelacha Vyasem Lacha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest his presence to you and give you peace. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word And Lord, may your Spirit guide us as we come to understand more of who you are and more of what you expect of us. And Lord, let us not withhold our heart from you, for it is what you desire because you have given us a new heart. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Chairs go around the table. If they're not already there, we will do Kiddush in about 5 minutes.